You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, April 7th, 2010. This is episode 126, Internet Evangelism Day Preview. We are back again with another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast, and I'd love to welcome back my regular podcasting partner after a two-week hiatus, kind of a two-week hiatus, Sally. Welcome back.
Thank you, Martin. I'm so happy to join you this week. And joining you means hopefully we are on the road to recovery with my family's health issues. And just happy to be back podcasting.
Well, I really appreciated the MP3 files that you sent a couple weeks ago, because that prevented our listeners from enduring just a 45-minute monologue from yours truly. That was helpful.
That was an interesting show, for sure, and I think it came together rather well, considering the circumstances.
That's right.
So appreciate you manning the podcasting.
Well,
desk.
We can't go a week without a show, so we've got to muddle along. I'm sure you'll save my bacon once in a while too, as we go forward. In fact, today's show is a little bit odd too, because we're pre-recording. We should be relishing the post-Easter joy of a Holy Week and an Easter celebration, but we're actually recording this during Holy Week because I will be gone the week after Easter, and so you're actually recording this still from, are you in Natchez?
I am in Natchez. I had some fried dill pickles for supper last night. So
feels just like home. Okay.
All that good food when you're down here. But yeah, looking forward to your week in Saginaw. You're going to be teaching Final Web for Dummies next week. And hopefully that's going to be another great session and opportunity for people to reach out with their church website to the world. And kind of ties in nicely with our topic for today.
Yeah, and I don't remember if we talked about how that class went, but I really enjoyed teaching the class. We had a great group here, and I know you did there too. But the more people that we can kind of get focused on using the internet for evangelism, which is, I think, a primary use of a church website, the better. And our topic for the day is something that we talked about. I don't know if we talked about it last year. Maybe we mentioned it, but this year it's kind of special because we have a chance to interview the founder and kind of the maintainer of InternetEvangelismDay.com. His name's Tony Whitaker. He lives in England. But before we jump into that interview, maybe it would be helpful to go through some of the resources on InternetEvangelismDay.com, because there are a lot of them.
Oh, there sure are, Martin. It's really an awesome site, and a lot of things that I think people would find helpful. Mm-hmm. Just a bit of background on Internet Evangelism Day, and you'll hear Tony talk about this later. It is generally celebrated on the fourth Sunday of April, and the main goal is just to raise awareness of internet outreach opportunities. So just setting aside a particular day to encourage congregations and other Christian organizations to help people know that they can do outreach in their internet life, mm-hmm. I guess we would call it.
Digital lives,
and,
yes.
Exactly. And this year that falls on Sunday, April 25th, so we thought we'd talk about it now and give people the opportunity to check out the resources in case they wanted to make use of them on that particular Sunday. Of course, you can make use of them all year long. So if you want to have an Internet Evangelism Sunday another Sunday, it certainly would apply in the same way. But just to draw attention, they picked a particular day each year to designate as Internet Evangelism Day.
Yeah, and I think this is an awareness-raising day, especially for membership. And I teach this Reaching Out in a Digital World workshop. I've done about 10 of them now. It was something that was commissioned to write for the Commission for Evangelism. So I've done about 10 of these, and a section of that workshop actually deals with promoting or trying to figure out ways to equip members to use these online tools for evangelistic purposes. And the site is helpful there as well. It's both corporate and personal. I'm just looking at their page called What is Internet Evangelism Day, and there's a purpose section there. And Tony illustrates that kind of the approach that they're taking is a twin track purpose. Purpose one is to kind of explain the strategies needed to use for web evangelism and some examples and demonstrations of ways to use it. And then the second purpose of this two-track purpose is to enable you, the viewer, to communicate these truths to others. And they do that by just a ton of resources. So you've got PowerPoints, video clips, handouts, all kinds of programs that are available, examples from what other churches are using. So as you mentioned, Sally, just a ton of resources. And Tony spends a lot of time maintaining these, updating these, taking suggestions and resources from other people and making them available here in kind of an organized fashion.
That's right. And, you know, I think our members are feeling really comfortable in the digital world. Many of them, of course, are on Facebook. We keep hearing that over and over. And we've talked a lot about having Facebook pages for our congregations and things. And Tony actually has pages in the How to Do section for all kinds of outreach opportunities via social networks, via mobile phones, via Twitter, all those different ways. And maybe it's just something simple like teaching your members how to use the share button on Facebook to put your church announcements on their personal profile pages. So it's not just networking with the people that follow your church, but then networking with all the people that follow your members as well.
Yep.
And so those kind of simple tips really, I think, will pay off. Another thing that I mentioned is he focuses on mobile phone evangelism and has a page dedicated to that. And just more and more we're hearing that the world's going to be attached to these mobile devices by 2020. Everybody's going to have one in their pocket. And, you know, developing more content that's easy to outreach via mobile phone is a good idea as well.
Yep. So he's got sections there on social networks, as you mentioned, mobile outreach, Twitter. He even has a section there on Second Life, on chats, all kinds of references and reviews for books, how to engage volunteers. Just a ton of stuff. So it's probably easier for you to go there and take a look at the resources available than for us to kind of index and describe all of them. And he has one thing that's very impressive about the site, many ways to kind of stay connected with the site. They have all kinds of feeds, RSS feeds. You can get, emails, all kinds of subscriptions. So he's very well connected and wants to make it easy for people to take advantage of these resources. So go ahead, Sally.
I was just going to say one thing you may consider as a strategy is just sprinkling these throughout your church year. Maybe focus on one particular one per month or something. So, and you could always create little short URLs or something to drive your members to a particular page and have it as a spark. You know, maybe you're going to focus on Twitter in a particular month and how members could use Twitter for evangelism or whatever. And so it doesn't have to just be concentrated on April 25th this year. It's resources there for you as called workers and you as lay members to make, you know, increase your ability to do outreach via the internet.
Yeah. One neat resource that churches may want to take advantage of, especially those that are trying to reevaluate their web presence and see how friendly their websites are for outsiders, is an evaluation tool where he's crafted kind of a scoring system and asks a series of questions that you can get a score when you're done with. I think there are 55 questions that you can go through and then get your free evaluation and gives some reasoning why these questions are included here, which is helpful in and of itself. So anywhere from search engine optimization to to design and usability, readability, those kinds of things. So take a look at that resource as well. So without further ado, why don't we play the interview that I conducted with Tony Whitaker from InternetEvangelismDay.com. Joining me today on the Wells Tech Podcast is Tony Whitaker from Internet Evangelism Day. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. Hello.
Actually, it's not morning for you. It's morning for me. You are in England, correct?
I'm right in the middle of England, near a town called Derby. So for me, it's 3 p.m.
Okay. Now, I've never been to England, so can you help me understand its relation maybe to London?
We're about 130 miles north of London.
Okay, very good. And you are kind of the man behind Internet Evangelism Day, but maybe before we jump into that site, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, if you've got connections in the world of ministry, and what you do for a living.
Yes, well, my background is I'm a member of a mission agency called WEC International, and we also produce literature for outreach literature for Africa and Asia. And so when we started doing things on the web, that was how I started to advocate the web as a tool for mission and evangelism.
Mm-hmm. And how long?
So I'm full time in that.
Uh-huh, okay.
Sorry, I didn't catch the next question.
Oh, no, go ahead. I didn't know if you were done or not. We've got we're working over Skype here, so we're going across the pond. So if there's a little bit of a delay, that's probably why. So what's the history behind Internet Evangelism Day?
Well, right. For some years I'd been writing about this whole topic and had a site called the Web Evangelism Guide, and there were a group of us getting together and discussing the whole concept. This was back in 2003. Mm-hmm. And we were saying, well, how can we convince the wider church of the potential? You know, a lot of people haven't really seen it yet. And there's a friend of mine from Norway who was on the discussion called Anders Torvald Bjørvand. And he said, well, have a focus day. That's what groups usually do. To get a higher profile, you set an annual focus day and encourage churches to take part. So there was a wide acceptance of that concept. And as I was doing the Web Evangelism Guide already, it somehow fell to me to work up the proposal, and we ended up with the first day in 2005, April.
So as you looked around the Internet at that time, and the Internet had been around for some time, of course, even in 2003, you didn't see anything similar, are there attempts at this kind of a day or this kind of a focus?
No, I don't think. No, we didn't.
So you're.
No, I mean, there were people obviously who were involved in different areas of ministry and making it known and encouraging, but it was under the auspices of the Internet Evangelism Coalition, mm-hmm. which is a sort of umbrella group. Ministries, and they have an office at Wheaton, the Billy Graham Centre. So it was really under their auspices that we had the first discussion, and then they'd already had been promoting online evangelism through the Internet Evangelism Coalition conferences and various things. So this was really a very good fit, an added way of giving a higher profile to the worldwide church.
And what kind of impact do you think that first one, when was the first one? That wasn't in
2005.
It was 2005,
April.
Okay.
Yes.
So it looks like it's always in April. Was there a reason that you picked that time frame, kind of post-Easter, or at least in the Northern Hemisphere, that's the spring. What's behind that particular day?
That was it, really. It was post-Easter. It was when we've all come out of hibernation in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right, okay.
And spring starting to feel human again.
Mm-hmm, right.
So yes, it was before summer had really cut in, and you know, other things. So spring seemed a good time.
Okay.
I think it's yes.
And the publicity or how you basically tried to get the word out, was that primarily through the website, InternetEvangelismDay.com?
Yes, through press releases, through just networking, through building relationships with people in every possible means. Now we've got a Facebook page as well, so it's just every little part, like the long tail, you know, the long tail concept. Every little bit helps towards an overall awareness.
Right. Yep. Interviews on podcasts and those kinds of things. I assume.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, those all help. So I don't know how you would gauge this, but how big is this? You know, what is the participation? I'm assuming it's grown, you know, since it started in 2005.
Well, certainly there are far more accesses to the website, which I have to say it has two purposes. First, it's a site to promote the concept of a focus day, but it's also a year-round resource site for digital evangelism as well. So it has the two connected purposes. Uh-huh. And certainly we're getting twice as many visitors now as we did in the early days. It's hard to judge how many churches actually say we'll do something that day, because unless they get round to telling us, we're just, unless we hear on the grapevine. So it's hard to know how many would use the concept at what level, but
I would assume anything you'd receive would be more anecdotal than, you know, scientific. So you just get a sense for what's the buzz, you know, how what kind of feedback you're
right.
getting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm, yes.
And the website, I'm very impressed with it. There's a ton of resources. Do you kind of have a sense for what are the most popular areas of the website, the most popular resources, the most useful in your mind?
Well, the ones that seem to get the most visitors are the ones on building church websites.
Okay.
We've got a self-assessment questionnaire on one of the pages, so you can have a look at your website, answer a number of questions about it, primarily to show you how outsider-friendly is it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fill in the boxes, and then it comes up with a score, and it gives you a customized report making suggestions, changes that you could make, so that the whole thing would be more outsider-friendly, more user-friendly, more easy to find online.
Sure.
And therefore more effective.
Absolutely, right. And do you spend a lot of your time maintaining the website, or is there a team of people doing that?
No, it's all really just me. So I'm doing the website or answering emails or posting things on the blog. You know, it's like a garden, you're never finished.
That's right. How much time do you spend doing that in a typical day or week?
Well, probably the majority of my time will be on this. Yes.
Okay. So this is your life in essence.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay.
I'm calling.
Sure. What's the future of the site? Are you going to continue to do this as long as there's interest? Do you see enhancements? Do you see other kinds of focus that would take some prominence? Where is this all going?
Well, I mean, everything changes so fast. When we first started, there wasn't Facebook, there wasn't YouTube, there wasn't Twitter. You know, who knows what there'll be in a year or two. I think what is going to be the big development in the coming few years will be mobile phones.
Sure.
You know, mobile phones that are web equipped, that can play videos and MP3s and just about everything else these days. So the potential for using mobile phones directly is growing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance, you could have a little portfolio of video clips on a mobile phone to show to somebody or pass to them. And there's a new resource with precisely these conversation-starting video clips, not sort of preachy, but things that would start a discussion, would pose questions in people's minds. And that's a vastly valuable concept.
Sure, sure.
It's the Global Short Film Network is the one of the groups that are specifically doing these short 5-minute video clips. As conversation starters, they're well worth having a look for. Global Short Film Network.com.
Okay. Now, social networks are obviously very hot right now, and probably very attractive for evangelists, you know, getting the word out about Jesus and sharing that. Do you have resources there that talk about, you know, the use of social networks? Or is it real mostly focused on just church websites and other kinds of strategies?
No, I've written that, and I did a blog post on this only recently, and I'm going to turn that into a web page. But, I mean, yes, the whole Facebook thing is mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are up to about 400 million users now.
Right, incredible, huh?
And if you take that as a proportion of total internet users and you subtract China because Facebook is banned in China,
right,
you come up with a figure of 1 in 3 internet users everywhere else is on Facebook.
Right.
So it's just a phenomenal development.
And that suggests that maybe the church ought to be there as well.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, there are so many different opportunities, building fan pages, asking people to make a page a favorite because then their friends can see it, or sharing a post.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this word of mouth popping across the internet, which is the strength of Facebook.
Right, and it looks like there's a Facebook page for Internet Evangelism Day as well.
There is indeed, yes. So that's
that might be a good way to interact with other people that are interested there. I'm just going there and I'm becoming a fan. So you've got another one. You're up to now 832. So a growing international audience. I think that's a great way because I think there's discussions that are helpful to be had around this topic. That there's nothing. I mean, there's good stuff that needs to be, I think, shared because no one person has a corner on everything that could be done in this regard.
No.
This is a great way to share ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're moving ahead with your Internet Evangelism Day, the next one is April 25th, right?
April 25th. We've aimed for being the last Sunday of April each year. That's
okay.
Easy to remember.
Now, I noticed Australia is May 2nd. Is that because April 25th is some
That's
kind of other
Anzac
holiday
Day
for them?
Australia. Yes, it's Anzac Day. It's a great big weekend. And so they said that's just not practical to do two things at once. So.
Sure. Now, any thought to internationalizing the website? Obviously, you have it in English, but clearly there are other languages that or other nationalities that could benefit from this. Any thoughts on in that regard? Or do you have? I do see you have some flag icons here. So you have this translated.
You can see some little flags there.
Okay.
Yes, I mean there are different ministries who've done something similar, or perhaps translated some of our pages.
So is it a page-for-page translation, or have you picked and chosen content that you translated, with a human, for instance?
Well, no, I mean, I haven't done anything. They're
right.
All people that have decided to do something.
And, wonderful. Okay.
I mean, one of them is, you might see there's a Lithuania flag there, and there's a key guy in Vilnius in Lithuania called Robertas.
Uh-huh.
And he's actually invited me to speak at a conference there next weekend. About web evangelism, so there's doubtless there will be encouraging potential in that country.
Yeah, very much an international flavor, and the resources are probably immune to some of those things because the concepts of working on the internet are pretty much the same. How you craft a site, some of the strategies that are available, the blogs that you can use, videos. Do planning and those kinds of things. So it's got to be rewarding for you to be able to focus your energy on something like this.
Oh, indeed, it is.
That's why you do it, right?
Yes.
Very good. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, would they just go to your site and you've got contact information there? Or what's the best way to... if they've got questions
sure,
or ideas?
There's a contact link in the footer of every page. So, yes, please, just email me.
Very good. Tony, thanks so much for taking the time with us, and blessings on your work. This is exciting work, and we in the WellsTech podcast keep an eye on this, and as new resources come up, we are happy to share those, and good stuff here. Thanks for your work.
Well, bless you. Thanks, Martin, for bringing it.
Sally, I always like the English accent. There's just something about it that makes things sound a little bit richer, a little bit more meaningful.
Yeah, of all the interviews for me to miss out on, I had to miss this one. I was really disappointed. So I do have a link to include in the show notes to their Facebook page. So if you're on Facebook and would like to follow Internet Evangelism Day there, you can follow that link to get to that.
Yeah. And thanks so much to Tony for taking the time. We had to deal with the time zone difference, and I'm sure he's a busy guy keeping that site up. And as Internet Evangelism Day is approaching, I think he gets probably many requests to do these interviews. So, Tony, thanks so much for taking the time. Let's move on. Ministry resources. We've got some mobile news. Correct, Sally?
That's right, Martin. We have been working on a mobile application with the hopes of getting it into the iTunes store. Can't make that announcement yet this week, but we can say that it is available for the Android. So if you have an Android mobile device, there is now a Wells mobile application that pulls together all of the Wells content, from the Together newsletter to all of our podcast videos, daily devotions. All of that content is pulled into one application where you can easily access it. We used a site called iSites.us, which allowed us basically to add all of our RSS feeds from Wells.net, and it had different interface where we could build graphics and things into it. So it has the Wells logo and that kind of thing. And through iSites, they submit both to the Android Marketplace and the iTunes Store for the iPhone interface. And basically, they've had a lot of trouble getting into iTunes. That process is a review process, and it seems to be quite slow, if at all. So we're still waiting to see if our application will get approved for iTunes. Mm-hmm. But the Android Marketplace apparently is an open marketplace. There isn't a review process on the part of the Android side of things. Mm-hmm. And so we are on Android, and Jason Schmidt, one of our faithful Wells Tech listeners, is also an Android user. And so we messaged Jason and asked him if he could check out our application for us. Neither one of us have an Android to check it out on. And he sent us a really thorough review, Martin, with lists of pros and cons.
Yep. Essentially, it's an app that acts as an RSS aggregator. So you're just bringing all your RSS feeds for Wells content into one place. So it's kind of a handy thing if you're interested in kind of keeping up to date on Wells news or devotions, prayers, Bible readings, all those kinds of things. You can come into one place on our very own Android app, hopefully iPhone app and iPod Touch app in the very near future. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Jason said the interface is dead simple, so that's the way I like it.
<That's>
very
right.
Easy to understand, and he was impressed with all the content. He even sent me a later message and said, I keep finding new things. This has got a lot of great stuff in it.
Cool.
Very simple navigation. Didn't purchase an ad-free application. That was more expensive, and we thought we'd test the waters a little bit. So he does say there's some advertisements that are integrated in it. If we're able to make it into iTunes and, you know, it turns out to be something worthy, then we certainly would consider the ad-free version.
Right.
And then he said basically once you click on something, it launches his web browser.
Right.
So the content isn't integrated right into the application, but actually takes you to the website. So not as seamless as he would like. But he said the cons are not enough to make me want to uninstall the app. I will keep it on there continue to use it. And he said use it as part of my waiting in line at Walmart time.
Okay. So. Not exactly high praise, but maybe it will evolve. I think it must, because I would assume that these kinds of apps, and one that also, was it Guy Marquardt recommended, iWebKit, I think are allowing just regular Joes like us to create apps pretty easily. We don't have to be an iPhone programmer per se.
Right. So stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have an announcement about an iPhone app before long.
Very good. Or iPad app, huh?
There you go. Okay. We need to be there too.
That's right. All right. Moving on to our picks of the week. Sally, were you able to put together a pick this week?
I was, and it relates to my time down here in Mississippi because I totally enjoyed the daily devotion or today's devotion from Wells, and it's available in text format as well as in podcast format. And being in the hospital for days and days, having that daily devotion was a great comfort to me, and not just to me, but to my sweet dad who was ill, who couldn't, you know, tolerate a whole lot, but he could listen to the podcast daily devotion, and was a highlight of his day as well. So
very nice.
It makes you realize how thankful you are for those resources when you're in that kind of situation. And I have to add, I was really thankful they had wireless at the hospital.
Yeah. So where do people find that, Sally?
Well, I'm going to have links in the show notes. The Daily Devotion is available on the Wells.net website, and we have RSS feeds of the text and audio versions. So if you want to subscribe that way, you certainly can. We're out in iTunes as well.
Yep. No reason not to listen or read. All kinds of ways to get that content. Awesome.
Such great comfort.
Yep. All right. My pick is for anybody using Outlook. It's called the Outlook Social Connector. I know some of our listeners use Outlook. I live in Outlook many times because that's kind of the digital hub of my to-do lists and my calendar and, of course, my email. And the Outlook Social Connector is a little plugin that Microsoft is adding, especially to their new suite of Office products 2010, but they've made this particular add-on available to lower versions, 2007, 2003 versions of Outlook. And it essentially connects your contact list or those people that you receive email from to their social networks, at least those that you're associated with. So if you have somebody that you're associated with and what they're supporting out right out of the box is LinkedIn and MySpace. So if you have a LinkedIn or MySpace contact or social connector, then you can connect them via this Outlook social connector and see their status updates. It also aggregates all of the connections that you have with them in Outlook. So email, appointments that you have with them, files you've shared with them. Upcoming will be Facebook and Windows Live connectors. So I think there's a good potential here if you're looking to integrate your communications platform, which is for me Outlook, and your social networking connections. This looks to be a good tool, and it's free. So Sally, the MLC folks have got to be excited about their upcoming weekend. We want to promo that a little bit.
Oh my goodness, I can hardly wait. This weekend is the dedication service. Actually, the dedication service says, because there will be more than one, for the Chapel of the Christ, the beautiful new chapel at MLC. And you are actually going to be in attendance, so we're actually going to see each other face-to-face, which is a weird
thing. Yeah, it doesn't
happen
too often.
No. You are all invited to join it virtually. If you can't be there in person, there will be Wells web streaming of the event on Saturday night, April 10th at 7 p.m. And you can get to that at wells.net/streams/live. And we'll also include in the show notes a link to the agenda for the entire weekend. There's all kinds of activities. I'm excited because my children get to sing in a children's choir Saturday morning. So that'll be a lot of fun. And there's art exhibits. The artwork in the chapel is just breathtaking. And so the artist will actually be there and be giving tours, explaining all the symbolism and everything that's a part of the chapel artwork. And it's just going to be a really exciting weekend.
Yep. I'm very excited to see it. I've seen pictures and I've seen a little bit of live streaming when they did kind of a dry run for the students there, student body. But it's probably nothing compared to being there in person. Looks like they've done an awesome job. So hopefully you can join us. Moving on to community feedback. Since we are pre-recording this, we don't have a lot. So as always, the show after we do all this pre-recording stuff will be jam-packed. But we just have one item today, Sally.
That's right, and it's from Jason Schmidt, who's at Gethsemane in Omaha, Nebraska. And he sent us a link via Digo to 8 Habits of Highly Effective 21st Century Teachers. And that's what we all want to be, right? Highly effective.
That's
and
right.
So it talks about adapting, being visionary, collaborating, taking risk, and much more. And I think these are very good points, and not always the most comfortable things to hear, you know, that you need to take some risk and adapt your methods and modes of operation. But I think in this new digital age, and the fact that we're training children to perform in this new digital age means that we as teachers, you know, do need to make some changes, do need to be comfortable and be able to expose our students to all the resources available.
Very good. Thank you, Jason. And if you, too, would like to contribute to the show, which we hope you do, because I know you have good things to share, and we'd love to share those with the rest of the class, so to speak. Wellstech.wells.net is the website, of course, where all the show notes are and ways to comment on different shows or get feedback to us in other ways. Wellstech@wells.net is the email address. We'd love a voicemail. We don't get too many of those. 405 for Wells, that's 405-367-9357, is a great way to get on the show with your thoughts on anything we've talked about or anything you'd like us to talk about or thoughts on ministry and tech. You can follow the thread, the Wells Tech thread on Twitter, #WellsTech. And while we're mentioning Twitter, there's probably a good opportunity to share our Twitter handle. Sally, you are what on Twitter?
Wells Tech Trainer.
Wells Tech Trainer, and I am M. Sprigg. So if you want to follow our tweets, that is the way to do that. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/WellsTech. And there's other kinds of ways to get in touch with us as well. So go to wellstech.wells.net to see all those ways.
Just mentioning on Twitter, Martin, I've gotten more and more followers just recently. You know, a lot more Wells people, I think, are getting into Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a Wells list that we maintain. So if you're looking for an easy way to follow Wells people on Twitter, you'll want to check out this Wells list and follow it. We'll have a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, we're trying to collect a list of all Wells tweeters, so to speak. So if you're not on the list, let us know and we'll get you on there. Coming up next week, as we mentioned, we'll be at MLC over the weekend, and we hope to talk with some folks there, perhaps Jeffrey Clark, maybe Dr. John Nolte, about the technology in the chapel. I think that is one conversation I have quite often with churches is, what's the best technology to use for, you know, in a church? Audio, video, software, those kinds of things. So we'll get the guided tour hopefully next week and share that with you and talk about church technology in general.
I think it's quite impressive once we have a chance to speak with him. My husband got a little pre-tour, mm-hmm. and he told me he was drooling over all the cool equipment that they had. So I'm anxious to see it.
Awesome, which is great because they have suffered along for a long time without that, without some basic staples of technology in their worship facilities. So let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf and the title track. I don't know if you call it a track anymore, Sally. The title song from his album Climb the Mountain, which is Climb the Mountain. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
First step, the finish line seems far away. The road keeps going on and on till it seems to touch the sky. Will I have the strength to climb? And all I really want is to climb above the clouds, to rise above the mess. rise when my life has been dragged down, to move beyond these childish ways into your shining light. Oh, give me the strength to climb.